The Gabcast, a podcast about Belgab.com. Visit UFOship.com for live streaming and chat. The Gabcast is not legally responsible for your feelings.
Hey everybody, it's the Gabcast. I'm Eddie Dean. We've got Onan, Jasmunda, and B-Dub with us tonight.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
It's another glorious Monday, everybody.
Yes, it is.
Oh, gee whiz.
And we are glad. Mondays. And we are glad to help everybody get over the Monday blues. What was that movie where they were talking about anybody that says you have a bad Monday or you have a case of the Monday should be shot? Was that Office Space?
Yeah. Office Space.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's a great movie. If you guys would like to be a part of the show tonight, the number to call is 623-242-2278. That's 623-242-CAST. As I am pushing buttons feverishly and turning off, maybe I should just announce everything I'm doing on the board in front of me here.
I think it's a good idea.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
Because the rest of us are just sitting here like, what? Huh? What? Come on.
You know, I noticed on the forum this week that Art Bell posted in Facebook, and we got, what, 50 members logged in on April Fool's Day, which was Monday? Or Tuesday, I believe.
It takes a little bit of explaining, I guess.
Well, would you like to explain that?
I lost all my memory on that yesterday. Obviously, there's there is the function on the forum where you can select certain threads to notify you by email. So maybe that's what's going on, or there are a bunch of lurkers. I don't know. I was more surprised by the reaction to what he posted, and I didn't think there was anything too funny about it. I didn't think it was an April Fool's joke. I just thought it happened to be the conjunction of April 1st and he posted. But a lot of people went into, this is an April Fool's joke, it's not funny, and it just kind of made my eyes go wide, but...
You can understand, you can understand why. Art does have a history of playing some April Fool's jokes. It was a common running theme when he did the show. So just the timing of an announcement with what date it was, you know, definitely, I think people had the wrong, you know, people...
I don't remember a lot of April Fool's jokes. Perhaps, it is my selective memory, but I don't remember a lot of that.
You know, honestly, I don't pay attention to April Fool's since I've been in school, since like elementary school.
Right.
You know, so too. As adults, me in particular, I just don't pay attention to that day, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my shoes being untied is just funny, you know, only so many times.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, Jazz, can you pull up the Facebook post that Art...
Yeah, I was just doing that and I've just found it. And do you want me to do the sexy voice or just normal voice?
Well, let's do the normal voice this time. Okay. We'll do sexy voice a little bit later.
Let's roll with the sexy voice, man.
I'll just go normal. He said that the Bell family is well indeed. My new show will air from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Pacific time. If Sirius would free me from my non-compete, it would have been 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time. But while I understand both CC, which I assume is coast to coast, and Sirius did what they had to do, karma is a bitch. It will stream for free and podcasts will be available. So I guess from that, people obviously just assumed, Art's going to be on tonight.
Yeah, and he didn't actually say that, did he? He just said something about the new show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he basically said when his new show airs, it's going to be from this time to that time. I think where people sort of got confused was that he said if Sirius freed him from his non-compete, he said if Sirius would free me from my non-compete, it would have been 7 to 10. So what he's saying is they're not freeing me from my non-compete. If they did, I would have gone from 7 to 10 and not competed with Coast to Coast.
Right.
But now that they're not freeing me, when I do come back, I'm going to compete with you guys and bring you down, is what he's sort of saying.
It's kind of like a big fuck you from Art Bell, which I believe, I don't know, it feels like I'm yelling into the mic. Am I yelling into the mic?
Your mic seems to be a little
We're not warm, listening to you, so maybe it? You have to.
You're just passionate.
Hold on, let me, yeah, I'm very passionate when we talk about Art Bell. Is my mic a little bit loud?
No, I don't think so.
Let me bring the levels down. Okay. It seemed to me that Art might have been using this, and this is just a thought that occurred to me. The reason that he posted this on his Facebook page is because he was using it possibly as a way to get Sirius's attention. I don't know if they're in talks behind the scenes or if there's completely, you know, silence between the two. But I mean, if I was thinking about negotiations or, you know, a negotiation stance or tactic, you know, why not go public and say, hey, listen, if you guys want me to go up against Coast, then, you know, hold me to the non-compete. If you don't want me to go against Coast, then I'd be happy to, you know, do the time slot that I was doing when I was with Sirius.
I don't think Sirius gives a shit one way or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they see him as a major competition over from more that's more than a year out.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, and you know, I want Art Bell to be big. I want him to have a show that's got millions of listeners. But
and callers too.
Yeah, but let's be realistic. I mean, he's going to do this strictly over the internet. I mean, man, I really like this guy's talent for radio, but I'm questioning his reality on how much of an audience he thinks he's going to have. I don't know.
Let me ask you guys this, and we can throw this out to the people in the chat room, or if you guys want to call in and talk about this. Is Art in the wrong here? The way he left Sirius? You know, he kind of left them hanging, you know. Do you guys think that that Art jumped the gun or that that he's in the wrong about this?
I think he was in the wrong. I can't, you know, I mean, I don't think it's a real big deal, but I know that if someone worked for me and I was counting on them to do something and they just up and left, I'd have some pretty tender feelings about it.
We don't really know
what happened or how it went down. I mean, we're looking at it from the outside and
yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's the only position we have. So let's go to town with it.
Well,
and we're going off information from Art's posts and from when he joined us on the Gabcast back in October.
Yeah, yeah.
But go ahead. What were you saying?
I mean, I guess you know, he tried to apply some pressure to Coast or Sirius behind the scenes prior to his departure. Because he would kind of get these updates from him. You know, you talk about that. People are telling me about these errors. We're working with them and blah, blah, blah. And then it just kind of came out of the blue and bam, the show was over.
He made several points to tell about how great Sirius was in responding to his needs. Mm-hmm. One was about the phone lines. One was, I forget what they
timeouts.
Were.
Timeouts. There were the timeouts.
The streaming issues. Yeah.
But they had timeouts, which were 90 minutes and they made it 4 hours or something like
right,
that.
Right.
Right.
And then, you know, so he had these things that were going for him and all of a sudden, boom, he was gone. If I were the person who was managing him for Sirius, I'd be like, wow, I just did all this for you, mm-hmm. and this is what I get back.
I wouldn't even answer his call.
You know?
I was shocked and angry that happened. But then, I mean, was it the case that one day Sirius just closed the door on Art, or did Art close the door on Sirius?
That we're not really sure about, because Art was pretty open with us about what happened, but he also reserved the right to keep some of that information private to himself, because he, as he told us and as he posted, some of that information that he knew was told to him in confidence by somebody, his contact at Sirius, or, you know, maybe it was the guy that contacted Art on his Facebook page to get this whole, you know, dark matter on Sirius XM thing going. And didn't that guy pay $5 or something to contact Art and say, hey, you want to come over to, you know, satellite radio?
Something like that.
You guys remember the whole, the weekend or right before or after the Halloween show? And he said that Art made some sort of a cryptic announcement or cryptic post. And that entire weekend, everybody at Belgium was speculating what it was. You know, everything from, well, Art is going to have his, have his own channel on Sirius, and he's going to bring in other hosts. And I don't think I saw anybody that it was going to be the end of Dark Matter on Sirius XM that very Monday, you know?
Everyone speculated about everything except what actually happened. That was when he said that he was all in. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was using the gambling
He said in gambling parlance, I'm all in. So we thought, oh, he's going to do 6 days, 7 days a week. He's going to do a 24-hour channel. He's going to open up his whole back catalog.
Yeah, he's going to bring in somebody else, and he's going to do weekends. And
yeah.
Jesus Christ, wasn't that a letdown?
Yeah.
That was like a punch in the gut.
It was pretty disappointing. I have to say that 6 weeks does not sound like a sincere attempt to make it work. 6 weeks sounds like he probably made some demands several times, and he may have framed those demands and I need this or else, and then he may have made those demands one time too many, and then Sirius was just like, well, you know what? F you, brother. and that's when everything went tits up. So
I get the feeling that he thought he was more important to them than he actually was. And then
I think that's an astute observation.
I think he probably had an exaggerated sense of importance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have been...
Well, that's never hit any one of us before, has it?
No, certainly not. So he's probably had something like, in his earlier career, he was a big deal, but in the framework of Sirius, you know, he's not Howard Stern. He's not pulling millions and millions of viewers. It's just a kind of a nice to have.
And whereas Howard's probably having dinners with the CEO, I don't think Art was even having dinner with the lowly tech guy, you know.
With Evan. He's bored up.
Who knows? You know, I'm hoping in a year and a half he's got a great show.
So do I. I'll be there.
I have to wait and see.
And my comments doesn't mean that I don't love Art and love what he does on the radio. I mean, he makes paranormal broadcasting interesting, even though, most of it is nonsense. And I think it's a lot of it is bullshit.
If we say bad things, he won't post here, guys. Come on.
What's up? Are you looking at the chat room, Onan?
No, I was just making a smart-ass comment.
Oh. Well, is it worth repeating?
No.
Okay, good.
Well, Eddie, you raise a good point because you say that we don't believe, you know, that Art makes the paranormal, you know, bearable. And so you're sort of hinting that we're very skeptical, and I think you're probably right there. So why is it, if we're so skeptical about all these topics and all these guests, why do we even listen to Art?
That's a real good question. I think it comes down to, I'll just use my experience. It's always kind of exciting to, to play out the fantasy. And I don't believe very much of the paranormal is legitimate. But it doesn't mean that I don't want it to be legitimate. It doesn't mean that I don't have some wanderlust about, exciting things happening and expanding my experience of life. I just... you know, I've got that bit of reality that pulls me back, but it doesn't mean I don't want some of this fantastical stuff to be real.
What would be the one thing that you would want to be real on it?
Oh, everybody loves me.
I mean, in the paranormal sense.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, I guess that would be paranormal if everybody loves on it.
Probably spirituality. Probably the religious side of things.
Yeah. Like afterlife or reincarnation, stuff like that.
Stuff, yeah. Yeah. You know, something like that would probably be a paradigm shift for me.
I think I'm with you. The reason that I listen to art is because it's like a fantasy, you know? It's something to take you away from everyday life and challenges. And if you can listen to some guy talk about UFO disclosure or EVPs or ghosts, you know, you can kind of switch your brain off and listen to it and suspend disbelief a little bit.
Yeah. I like it. If someone can tell a good tale and tell it well, then I'm in.
That's exactly it. And, you know, Art Bell had a way of making that happen more often than not. And now we've got somebody in there. Well, I'm speaking from history because I haven't listened to this guy in years. Mm. But I just happened to, I was listening to an old Art Bell show night before last. And Nori comes on with a voiceover about his show. And he's trying to be, you know, he's trying to sound authoritarian and wise and professorial.
How are you?
And he makes the comment, oh, how did he say it?
I know what he said. Nope. I think I have the clip right here.
Nobody turns their cheek.
Give me your mother back.
Yeah. Nobody. It was about, you know, but he mixed, instead of turning, you know, for the fight, he used turning the cheek. He just, he so poorly mixes his metaphors that he's just a joke.
Yeah. I wish I had some of those mixed metaphors of George. The only one I have is not really even a metaphor, but this
did
one.
Did you do the Hummick maneuver on him?
the Hummick maneuver. If I'm ever choking in a restaurant, I hope George is not sitting next to me because he probably thinks the Heimlich maneuver is something completely different than removing food from my airway so I can breathe and live.
I could go on for hours about how much I dislike Nori, and that's kind of surprising to me as well because I'm like, why do I have such contempt for a man who I've never met, and he's really actually never done any physical violence to anyone that I know of, and yet, if there's anybody's neck I would like to wring, it would be his.
Just so, because you're so frustrated with him, right?
I guess so.
Here's the reason. Because Coast was kind of sacrosanct to you, and he basically took a giant dump on it.
Several.
Do you guys recall when George took over the show? Like, and what your impressions of him were at that time?
I wasn't listening then.
I really tried for, like, quite a long period of time. I don't know that I would go so far as a year, but I tried for quite a while to like the guy.
Yeah, me too. And
I just, he was just annoying to begin with. I mean,
he got worse though.
See, George.
Go ahead.
George was doing weekends at first. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Art was still doing the weekday, 5 days a week, and George would come in on what, Saturday and Sunday, or was it just Saturday?
I don't remember. George would come in.
I don't recall. I never really listened the weekends.
Do you guys remember what year it was where George finally took over?
About 2003, 2004?
Yeah.
That was it.
Because when I started listening to Coast, it was around that time. I think it was late 2003, early 2004.
Mm. And no, I think you're mistaken. It was 1931, wasn't it? Oh, wait, I'm thinking of Hitler. My bad. Go on.
Well, I thought you were thinking about some other financial disaster or some other disaster. That would be 1930, I suspect.
That was my bad.
Okay. But when I first started listening, I actually preferred George because Art was on the weekends and George was doing the weekday thing.
Wait.
I know.
Preferred?
Yes.
George?
Yes. I know. You guys are going to... everybody at Bell Gab is going to completely...
You call yourself a broadcast professional? I don't know.
Who? Me?
You, yeah.
Obviously, I'm not a broadcast professional.
I'm busting your chops, buddy. Go for it.
But I don't know what it was. It was maybe it was just because I heard George more often than I did Art. But after about a year, maybe less, I realized where the true talent was. And I started hearing things, you know, that we've all complained about with George, you know, asking the question that the guest just answered, going off on strange tangents and bringing up, you know, television shows where, you know, it doesn't really relate to the topic or the subject at hand. So, yeah, that's my story. I don't know what else to say there. I kind of lost my train of thought, but
I fell asleep. I'm sorry.
Yeah, very exciting, everybody.
You're gonna have to hand in your Gabcast badge, my friend.
Oh man, really?
Yeah, that's admitting that you like Nori more than Art Bell at any given point in time is grounds for dismissal. Yeah.
But you know, though, if people that
you have to leave our clubhouse immediately.
People that started listening to Coast to Coast after Art Bell, you know, backed away from the microphone, I can sort of see the lesser thinking of those of that group that would find some affinity for him, you know.
You're saying I'm a lesser thinking human being?
Yes.
No, I'm talking about people now that came on. Now that Bell's gone, I can see how they have a loyalty to him because they never listened to Bell.
They don't know what the magic was like when he would talk about some paranormal subject in the middle of the night, in the dark.
Yeah, I do think Nori's got a bit of a talent nailed down, and that he can go off on and say something that sounds kind of legitimate. And if you're not really listening to him, you're like, okay. But if you really listen to him, it's like, what the fuck did you just say? And I can't pull any hard, you know, data out to present it to you, but I know he does it on a regular basis. You know,
wait. Just. What was his talent? I'm confused.
If you're half asleep and listening to him, and you know he will say something like he often goes off on this rant about how there's something wrong with the world now and how it seems to be getting worse and
there's
the people aren't good like they used to be good, you know. And if you're just kind of half asleep and you know laying there listening, okay, and I can see where people would buy into that shit. But if you start,
I would agree.
Any critical thought at all, you're going like, this guy's just a doof. So,
you know, he does do that a lot. And he's been doing that ever since he's been in the big chair at at Premier. It's just something strange going on out there. Yeah, you know, people are acting weird.
You don't have to back that up with anything. Exactly. You can just drop it. You can just throw that out. And Coast to Coast AM with George Nori is like a kernel of corn. It just passes right through you.
Indeed.
Sometimes painfully.
Indeed.
Yeah. And I still don't understand why people continue to listen, especially people who go on and on about how much they hate Nori. I think last week I turned on the show just out of a sick curiosity, and I had it on for like 10 seconds, and I was just like, okay, this is a mistake. There's a reason why I never listen to this, because it's really fucking awful.
You know, I get so frustrated listening to... I haven't listened to Coast in almost a year, probably, maybe even more. I get so frustrated because now I'm listening for him to go off on non sequiturs. I'm listening for him to ask a question that's already been answered. So I'm not enjoying the topics. I'm listening for him to fuck up. Or make a mistake, or annoy me, you know, and give me a reason to turn the radio off.
You know, I can understand that if somebody's sitting around a busy intersection hoping to see an accident, because there's some amount of perverse excitement there. But, you know, when a guy can't pronounce a word correctly and you get to hear him say it, or get to hear him mispronounce it again, it's like, there's no really big surprise there. We knew he was going to do this. Mm-hmm. So, I don't understand the attraction to continue to listen. And I think it falls into two categories. People that just really like the genre and are hoping for something good. And those who just, they don't have anything else to do with their nights. I mean, I really don't know how else to put it. And maybe I'm just being a smug bastard. I don't know.
Good
point.
You
know, because, yeah, there's, you know, there are different cars because different people like different things. So who am I to say? But I'm surprised that Nori keeps anybody listening to him that posts here. Especially when they come back and post in that George Nori sucks. Because I'm like, there's a disconnect here.
Yeah, you know, the reason that I joined Bell Gab was because of George Nori sucks. You know, I typed
in Google.
That's
why all of us joined.
Pretty much, yeah.
Why,
it's a huge majority of people that joined
Bell Gab. That's not why I joined.
Neither, but I was very glad once I joined and then found out that other people also had the same.
I typed into Google search years ago, George Nori sucks. And this was before Bell Gab. This was before it was Coast Gab. It was back when it was a whole different forum, a whole different whatever forum program they were using. And there were thousands of pages, and it was all really tiny type. And I was like, wow, I would just get lost in this sea. So I read for a couple of days, and then just disappeared. And then I came back, I don't know, probably a year later, and it was this forum. And the reason I was coming back was because they used to stream Art Bell shows. And I was more into listening to that. And then one day I realized, hey, somebody's putting time and energy to make this work. I should probably make some commitment to that process and see what I can do to help out. So,
unscreened caller in the chat room said, Valdez takes one for the team night after night after night.
He does. And, you know, I don't know who that Valdez guy is, but, man, can he condense, synthesize, and make something readable out of something that was probably crap. So kudos to him.
Yeah. If you guys don't know who Valdez is, I pretty much think that everybody that that goes on Bell Gab knows who they are. But anybody that listens to us that isn't familiar with Bell Gab, Valdez is a poster at bellgab.com who condenses every night the show and types
it. He does a great job of it.
Yeah. And he tells everybody what the show is about, and he's usually pretty critical. But if you miss the show and you want to figure out what happened, he types it all out there.
He is to Coast to Coast what a skilled technician would be to a wastewater treatment plant.
Good point.
They're both handling roughly the same product.
Good point. Yeah.
I think I don't for know me, why he would do that.
For me, what I love about the allure of Bell Gab is all about the insult comedy, and I think that's what for a lot of people, that's what keeps them going back to the show at night is to hear how bad it is. It's like
it's like a train wreck.
You are on such a higher philosophical level than I am. I just don't know that we will ever connect on that.
So, well, I'll give you that one. But for me, it's like the same kind of you know, it's like watching a really horrible movie. You know, you've got 2 hours of your time that you're going to spend watching something that admittedly is really horrible. And roughly listening to Coast to Coast AM with George Nori is approximately the same thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if I already mentioned this, but if you're a diehard paranormal fan, that's pretty much the only free network show that is on the radio these days.
Yeah.
You know, a late night show that you can tune in on AM pretty much across the entire country.
Hey, I'm going to make a rough segue here, and I apologize, but I'm crude and my brain just happened to hit on it. Somebody made a post on the forum about, Victor? About whether Whitley Strieber was voicing some alien's voice or...
No, it wasn't or the alien, it was the monitor.
You want to set that? You want to set that up, Jazz?
Yeah, please go ahead. Because I was kind of curious about that. I mean, first of all, it's interesting to me, but it's interesting to me because This happened like what, 10, 12 years ago?
It was 1997.
20 years ago.
And it's still a matter of contention, so I'm curious as to what that's all about.
Okay, Jazz, you want to set that up or you want me to?
No, you can do it.
What Onan is talking about, in 1997, Art Bell had on this mysterious guest, and his name was Victor. And Victor, of course, wasn't his real name. And when he came on the show, Victor said that he was a Area 51 employee.
Well, I'll interject one second.
Okay,
and it's quite important to the story. He was brought onto the show by Sean David Morton.
Correct.
So if anyone's familiar with that guy, that sort of lends its own credibility or non-credibility to the whole story.
Okay. So, that's a good point. I forgot that that Sean David Morton did bring him on the show. And he actually asked him a couple questions, which, so he came on the show and his voice was disguised, this Victor character, and he proceeded to tell Art and the audience about aliens that they had at Area 51. He said that he smuggled out a digital video file, an AVI or some digital video file of an alien interrogation. I think that's it. Did I miss anything?
Well, no, you were close about the format of the file. It was actually an early digital video format called Sphinctervision that was developed by Tanco.
Yes.
And oddly enough, Whitley was a huge fan of Sphinctervision for some reason. Yes. I don't know why.
Who wasn't?
Good point.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. But there's been speculation on the forum about who this Victor guy was. And somebody, let me get my notes, Lunger posted a clip of this Victor guy. And what he did is he took away the digital manipulation. Basically, all Victor put on his voice was a pitch shift. So he shifted his voice down a couple pitches or a couple semitones. And these days, with digital editing, it's very easy to get around. So I've got this audio clip here I can't remember which one this is. Hold on, I need to preview this. You guys have anything else to add about this Victor character or about what they're saying on the forum?
Well, there's also the...
No, it's dead air for you, buddy.
In regards to the video, I don't know if anyone has seen that video, but it's quite clearly... Well, it looks like a puppet. And not only that, is at the beginning, it's very dark. The video is very, very dark and grainy. And they actually I think when Victor explains that, the first thing he says about the video is that, oh, the video, it's obviously very dark so that the alien is comfortable in the surroundings. So sure. They've given sort of a real world explanation as to why we won't be able to see the strings that are controlling this puppet.
And we can, and I have my opinions about what that alien is, but we can get to that after I play these clips. Like I said, Lunger posted this, and then Ward, WARD on Belgab also posted a clip that has Whitney's voice at the end of it. So let me play it right here.
Well, no, I can't. I can tell a secondhand anecdote. If I speak about the occasion when I personally encountered the being, I would be compromising myself.
Okay, so that's the unaltered clip. That's what everybody heard when they tuned into the Art Bell Show in 1997. And this is a clip of the altered audio. Here we go.
Can you tell us about what happened when you actually saw the creature and what your opinion was and what your thoughts were?
Well, no, I can't. I can tell a secondhand anecdote.
I will say, though, just to be a little bit of the devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
Several weeks ago, there was a lot of talk, especially mostly by Seraphim, posting about her liking of John B. Wells, and she posted a video of his new podcast. And I started listening to it, and I was amazed. I have a client who is a pretty sick individual, and their speech patterns are identical. When I heard John B. Wells, I wasn't really watching the screen. I was doing some other work, and I thought it was my client talking. So I'm not saying it's not Whitley Strieber. I'm pretty damn sure it is. I'm just saying that there are people out there that sound very similar in the way they, not only their voice, but the rhythms they use, even the way they use the words in their speech. Because I'm telling you, my client sounds exactly like John B. Wells. There, you could, if you were in a, if you put them next to each other, you couldn't tell which one was which.
But you know what? It's very unlikely that your client and John B. Wells are going to be mistaken because they're in totally different fields that don't work in the same area. Whitley is a part of the Art Bell program and the history of the Art Bell program. So there's a connection, you know, that you're not going to mistake that guy for John B. Wells because that guy's not going to be on John B. Wells' show or doing a podcast. Or
I have another clip where it's just Whitley, and you can listen to what he sounds like here.
Been promoted from within by propaganda experts and so forth, and it's been very, very unfortunate.
Yeah. Yes, that same sort of stuttering that he does in his speech is same as Victor.
You know, it's impossible to tell with 100% certainty that Victor was Whitley, but he does share the same characteristics in tone and in speech patterns and inflections. But I don't know what Whitley would have to gain by doing that. Is it just selling books or
selling that whole, I don't know what to say.
Subculture?
To to sell that, basically. There is something going on at Area 51, and if there's something going on at Area 51, hey, look, I've got an anal probe story over here.
Yeah. Tell us more about your anal probe story, Whitley.
The question is, did Art Bell know it was Whitley? If it was Whitley, did Art Bell know that? Was he aware?
We'll never know, will we?
Suspect?
No, we never will.
He'll claim that, no, it's not, definitely wasn't, but, you know, maybe he wasn't aware.
Yeah, I would believe that Art would not be in on that if
I would like if to that believe was Whitley. It wasn't.
Here, I've worked out, I'm a bit of a math whiz, and I've worked out a formula here. when you, if you, the equation roughly is Sean David plus Whitley Strieber equals total bullshit.
Yeah.
So that should pretty much sum it right up there.
Wow, man, that's as profound as E equals MC squared.
Indeed. I think that's one of the first 10 theorems you learn in geometry. Yes, I agree.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed.
Look, we've often questioned about with Art. You know, he always let Ed Dames get a free pass. I mean, is this a similar thing? Is he giving these guys a free pass in the sake of entertainment?
He let a lot of people have a free pass, in my opinion.
I agree. I think Art challenged his guests much more than Nori does.
I think he did some.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The qualifier is how often Nori does it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, here's the difference.
It's difficult to compare the two, though. But
Art Bell challenged his guest very rarely, and Nori challenges his guests never.
Yeah.
So
it's almost like Nori's not even there.
Yeah. I personally feel like we should have an episode or make an attempt to actually replicate an episode of Coast to Coast just using Eddie's soundboard.
Yes.
Exactly. Because I think we could do it pretty easily.
Probably so.
We could bring a guest on and have the my soundboard, George Nori, talk to him, run the interview.
We could have MV come on and talk about something about, you know, how to maintain a Windows computer or something, just anything. And then, but he would be conducting the interview with the soundboard version of George Nori.
I would agree.
And I think we could approximate Coast to Coast pretty easily.
And the guys on Howard Stern that do the phony phone calls actually do a pretty good job of making phony phone calls with soundboard clips.
Oh, yeah.
People fall for it, but I guess you got to have the good material.
I'm not sure I want to shoot for inept. We do that too easily, so I don't know that it's just something I want to train for.
We do inept, but it's entertaining.
Well, we like to think so. Yeah.
If you guys would like to be a part of the show tonight, the number is 623-242-2278. I just did a George Norrie right there. Again, the number is 623-242-CAST.
But you didn't get your broadcasting degree at Clown College, so.
Yes, I did. I know how to juggle and everything. I can entertain the folks listening. Did you guys see that the Yellowstone caldera is about to explode because the buffalo and the bison are running away?
Yeah. Is that in my pants?
Well, the buffalo and the bison.
Yeah, is this another thing? Jazz poop story?
Yeah.
You know, you made it sound like there's two distinct species there.
The
buffalo. Yeah, the buffalo. It's not the buffalo and the bison. It's the buffalo, also known as bison.
A.K.A. bison.
Yes, that are running like, you know, if there were a couple
like
of
Jazz Munda diarrhea story.
if they had videos showing other animals on the fast track out of there, I'd be a little more concerned.
Somebody posted on the forum.
It's scary.
Somebody posted on the forum that the buffalo were just running down the path that the humans made because it's easier than running through the snow, you know, because their buffaloes are running down the road.
I can tell you this, if that does go, it's going to be a bad day for a lot of people.
Yeah, did you see some of the maps and how much of the western United States would be caked in feet of... volcanic fallout, or what do you call that? Ash?
Yeah.
Well, the upside would be that George Norrie would no longer be the host of Coast to Coast AM.
I think from what I've seen, there are lots of scientists out there who's saying they want to classify that caldera as extinct, or the Yellowstone volcano is extinct because it hasn't erupted in 80,000 years or something.
I think it's been more like 600,000 years.
Well, they're saying they want to classify it as extinct.
Really?
Well, yeah. but the ground elevation is up like 20 feet over the last 3 decades. I mean,
according to,
I don't know. I read this. You know, I read it on the internet, so I know it's true.
Was it a Coast to Coast guess that produced that statistic? Bullshit.
I'd have to go look it up. But no, I think I'm pretty accurate on that. It might not be 20 feet. It might be only like 2 feet. But I know it's up.
Yeah, I've heard that too, that the Yellowstone is bulging. Oh, yeah, ladies.
Said it.
The Yellowstone is bulging. Sorry, had to do that. Yeah, I mean, it's an active area, the hot springs and all of that. So I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm certain it doesn't mean that the thing's going to explode next week and take out, half the United States.
Well, that's just it. You never know. Yeah. Did it just get real quiet in here?
Yeah, it did. I have a sound effect for that.
Well, okay. No.
Like I said, I went looking for different opinions about the caldera, and I saw a lot of scientific sources that were saying they wanted to classify it as extinct. So people act like it's a slam dunk, like it's going to blow up. It's inevitable. I don't know that that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm getting stuff like that from Coast to Coast AM or people who appear on Coast, then I'm almost inclined to believe the exact opposite.
Right. That's a pretty good way of doing it.
We call that the Ed Dames effect.
Okay. I'm on the USGS site, and it's saying there's pretty much not a lot to really be worried about, but it does have a graph. Cumulative earthquake counts provided by the University of Utah, from April 1994 to 2014. And here's a big red line that shows it's going up and up and up. So,
but what's going up and up?
The Earth.
My penis. Earthquakes per week.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of activity. There's been a few earthquakes on the West Coast, hasn't there? There was one in Oregon a couple weeks ago, and there was one down in South America a week ago or so.
There's been several in Oklahoma, but they're saying a lot of that may be the result of fracking.
Frickin' fracking.
What's the link that you're looking at there, Onan? Can you post that?
I'm going to right now, big boy.
Well, thanks.
We're well, talking about boats. I've been spending a lot of time looking at boats. You guys want to talk about boats?
Yeah, let's talk about boats.
Do you have a funny little captain's hat?
Not yet, but I'm getting one. No.
Are you going to be a seaman?
Some sparkles and sequins.
Oh.
No, I thought I had one picked out. I thought I was going to buy it, but the survey of it was really bad, so I'm not. Mm.
Well, here's my opinion about the Yellowstone caldera. The increase in earthquakes is obviously caused by Obamacare.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It's always Obama's fault. You're on the air. Obama.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hey, what's up?
CJ James calling in from the forum. I thought I'd call on the topic of art. If I start talking about George, I'm afraid I'm going to blow up my own phone with rage, so I'm going to stick with art for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
One of the topics tonight, why was art so good? Couple reasons. Art was a legitimate, and is, a legitimate broadcaster. And by that, I don't mean he's someone who just takes a microphone and speaks when the on-air light goes on. He's someone who can make something out of nothing. If a topic or a guest is going nowhere, rarely did art drive it straight into a wall and say, I can't do anything with this person. He turned it into something. Nori has to have a script. He has to have a crosswalking guard. He has to have a Goodyear blimp with a message up above in order to just get to the first commercial break. And aside from the broadcasting talent, art has something that George would never have, and that is a sense of curiosity. When you listen to Bateman, that's what makes his show so great. He has that curiosity that art had and still has, and therefore that leads him to ask questions. That when you're the listener, you're listening to that, to the host, you go, yes, yes, that's what I wanted to ask if I had the chance. This doesn't sit there and go, duh, for a half hour like Nori does.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I listen to Art, I often get the impression that he's definitely not asking questions straight off a cue card. He's listening to the answer and then asking a question based on what has just been said. Whereas George is, every question is off the, is the next cue card off the, you know, next cab off the rank.
Yeah.
And Jazz, what creates all that? It's the genuine, honest, natural curiosity that the host has. If your host doesn't have curiosity and your show is about the paranormal, oh my God, look out for the Hindenburg of radio events.
But, well, now that would be interesting. I would pay to listen to that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I might pay for that myself. But, you know, whether it was art that dynamited the Sirius deal or Sirius that dynamited it, I frankly, at this point, I don't care. What I care is what I know, and what I know is this. I listened to the guy since I was in the sixth grade. I was listening to West Coast AM on KDWN right when he took over.
Did they have radio then?
Yeah. This guy is the bad. And whether it was his fault that it went bad or not, he's got the talent, he's got the chops. I want to hear him, whether it's on XM or the internet or whatever. And that's what keeps me coming back time and time again. And call me a sucker, everybody, if you want. And I'll accept it.
Oh, we want. But go ahead.
You can't argue this fact. The man is one of the best in the business. He's one of the best that's ever been. And whether it's, you know, a completely false story like a worker at Area 51 or whatever, he could take that thing and turn it into radio like it was out of the 30s, like an episode of The Shadow or something like that. And you could, you had to listen to the next night's episode. That's what makes him so great.
That's a really good point. Do you think that Art believed every single topic that he talked about?
No.
Absolutely not, because that's not the point of a broadcaster. Look, he's a broadcaster and an entertainer. He's this isn't In Search Of. It's not National Geographic.
Yeah.
It's entertainment.
Yeah. Agreed.
And Art, and because
not to break you down here, Stan, but even National Geographic isn't National Geographic anymore. I mean, aren't they the ones? Go ahead.
Dude, anything on cable, if you dare to turn it on, is false advertising. So don't even go there, brother. But my point is that with Art, he knew how to take something that was nothing and make it entertaining, sometimes suspenseful, and sometimes he just stopped in the middle of the hallway and went, what the hell am I listening to? Is this real or isn't it? Almost, I don't want to blow it up too much, but you would think that maybe that's something that was going through the minds of the people who were listening to maybe War of the Worlds when it was live or something like this. They would ask themselves, is what I'm listening to entertainment or is this really real? What's going on? And
what really surprised me about that is Nori seems to be so unaware that's the dynamic he needs. He must actually believe that asking the question, so what got you into this, is important. And it's like, how can anybody be that disconnected? And yet he is.
Yeah, I think it's incuriousness, dude. I think that's what it is. He's there for a check. That's why he's asking the same basic three-word questions. Is it a portal? Every single night.
How did you get into this?
I'm sorry?
How did you get involved in this?
How did I? Well, like I said,
I'm mocking Nori.
You can hear it in his questions. When they play time after, so when they play the old our Bell shows, just listen to some of the questions Art would ask compared to anything that flies out of George's mouth. You can tell who's engaged, who's not, who has the talent, who doesn't.
Yeah, Art would have an organic conversation, and he would take little tells that the guest would talk about, and he'd follow those. You know, if somebody says something extraordinary to George, like, I have aliens in my trunk, George will ask the next question on the cue card. And Art would follow that, you know, and follow him down the rabbit hole, if you will.
There's a long history of listenership I have with Art, like I said, going way back to the top of the Union Plaza. I even showed up there once to borrow one of five videotapes that he had of UFOs over the Las Vegas Strip during the one Saturday morning. But I just tell you, I wasn't alive in the 30s. I wasn't alive in the golden era of radio. But when I listen to CDs of those shows, when I listen to Radio Classics on XM, and I remember what it was like, especially in the 90s, when West Coast AM caught fire and became Coast to Coast, I can see the parallel. I can see the talent. And God damn, I miss it, guys. I miss that exciting radio from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., where I would just be a zombie the next morning because I somehow listened to all 4 hours.
Yeah. I'm with you there, man.
I'm
going to
let you guys go. I got to drive home.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Take care.
Ciao. Thanks for the call, man.
I think that's the best call of the night.
Yeah.
I believe it is.
He gets the award of best caller of the evening. I don't think he's just said CJ, didn't he? I don't think he gave us his Belgab handle, did he? Or was that his Belgab handle?
I don't recall ever saying that name.
He made a good point about TV not being TV anymore. You know, Discovery Channel is not about Discovery anymore. History Channel is no longer about history. The Learning Channel actually sucks intelligence out of the viewer. And the news channels aren't really about news anymore. It's more about Bieber and celebrity gossip.
Thank God porn is still about porn.
That's right. The Playboy Channel is still about boobs.
So
you're on the air.
I'm going to ask you.
Hey, I want to see if I can be the most stone caller on the air tonight.
How's it going, man?
It's going good. I heard you guys were having a Gapcast right now, so I figured I'd call. Just try it out.
See, yeah, man.
Got picked up.
We haven't talked to you in a while. What you been up to?
Oh, been hiding around, been busy, you know, trying to raise a dang family. Have a life, run a business. It's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job.
But you're having fun, right?
Yeah, I am. I miss you people, though. I got on post in the last 2 days like a guy who just discovered coffee because I missed posting so much. So. So I heard Art Bell's coming back on the air.
Yeah, you saw that too, his Facebook post, huh?
Correct.
I also heard he's dead.
Right, and that he died, so this ought to be a pretty good show.
Yeah, when
did you hear where he died?
On the toilet.
Oh, right, in the love dungeon.
That's right, in George Norrie's love nest.
George Norrie's love nest. Oh my God, that's a horrible sight.
Ah, yes, that is horrifying.
All the cool guys like Steven Seagal and stuff have those love dungeons, you know.
Well, yeah, Steve Seagal is sharing his with Vladimir Putin right now.
So what do you want to talk about, man?
Oh, gosh. You don't have a question for me? I have to come up with one for you, eh?
All right. No, I got a question for you. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Depends if he's south of the equator or not.
It's That's illegal for woodchucks right to go south of the border, my friend.
Yeah. I'm sending that question to Jazz officially here.
What actually is a woodchuck?
There you go.
It's a
I thought you were into porn, man. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's a beaver, isn't it? Isn't it some sort of a beaver?
I believe it is.
Yeah, it is. I don't think we have them. Yeah, it is a beaver. No, we don't have them down here. Actually, it's a groundhog.
Really?
Which is
wow.
A whistle pig or a land beaver? We have beaver here.
Oh yeah.
Tell us more about your beaver down under.
Sexy talk. Go ahead, Dallas.
The real question is, when you're down under, when you go down, do you go up? I mean, Jazz has never answered this one.
Well, I just go 69, so it's always, you know, up is down, down is up.
Well, is 69 96 in Australia?
It is. We go ass to ass.
So I have a question for you guys. I'm just making this up off the top of my head. What is the thing you did today that you had the most fun doing, that brought you the most pleasure?
This broadcast.
There you go. That's a good one, Eddie. You win the prize.
Anybody else want to answer that one?
I wrote some bread in my life.
Say that again. You guys talked over each other.
I was just being a smartass. I stapled my foreskin to my chair.
That's nice.
I wouldn't say it was fun, but it was interesting for a little while.
Did it bleed a lot? Get a lot of blood everywhere?
No.
So, Jazz, what was the best thing you did with your foreskin today?
I didn't have a foreskin.
Okay, so what was the best thing you did today that brought you the most joy down there, down under?
Well, I woke up and I wasn't dead, so that's always a win.
That's a good start. All right, we got one more. B-Dub, what's your answer, please?
What's the best thing I did today?
Yeah, things that brought you the most joy and stuff.
I had an idea for a script, and I wrote down the script and sent it off to my writing partner.
Wow.
Was it porn script?
No.
Are you doing porn again, B-Dub?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't write for porn.
Oh, you act in it.
If you write a script for porn, I believe you do send that on a postcard, not in an envelope.
Yeah, I'm a stunt cock. That's my job.
Well, let me see. The favorite thing that I did today is I woke up, I wasn't dead. Then I stapled my foreskin to a chair. And then I got on the Gapcast. That was pretty awesome.
Nicely done, sir.
No, actually,
full circle.
I visited a coin shop with my 10-year-old boy, who's really into that kind of thing. So, I mean, come on, that's pretty cool, man. Go look at all the shiny coins and stuff. It's pretty fun.
Like rare coins and stuff.
Yeah, rare, common, whatever, shiny. You know, kids like them. My boy's into it. They like him at the coin shops because he likes to know what they are and collects them and stuff. So that's pretty fun stuff, honestly.
Yeah.
And what I do for kicks.
Well, would he like a coin from Australia?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, he probably has a couple. He's a collector, but he appreciates every accession, that's for sure.
Well, I'll send him one in the mail. Will email suffice?
That's correct. You can feel free to send me money anytime, Jazz. No problem. Well, my stuff, technically.
Yeah, I'll give you my address for that.
We prefer the 0.99% silver coins, but that's cool, man. Send whatever you can.
I'll just take a check. You don't need to bother sending a coin.
That silver is heavy. It costs a bit to ship, so, you know, checks are good.
You can just use PayPal and send it to my email. It'll work.
So, Aldous, when are you going to be in Phoenix again, man? We got to get together when you come through.
Wow, it's a funny question because when I get off this here phone, I'm making my arrangements to be there in about 2 days.
Really?
And I will actually PM you here in the very near future and give you a little more info on that. Yeah, I'd love to send you a message about why I'm going, although I don't want to tell the other fools on here, because they'll all end up there, man. So it's just you and me, buddy. I'll email you later.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to a picture of Eddie Dean and Aldous Burbank that we can Photoshop George Norrie's head over, or at least we can ask Ziznak to do that for us and post it on the forum.
That will be fun. I am not kidding. I actually am going to be there in a couple of days. And I'll be there for at least a week. So I'm going to let you know what's up.
Cool, man. I'm looking forward to it.
One question for Onan. What's up, buddy? Are we going to come out west sometime, do the rodeo thing?
I'm supposed to be out there the end of May.
What? Okay.
But I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm really... we found a couple of pieces of property here in North Carolina that are waterfront, that are deep water. So I'm really pushing for that. So I don't know what's going to happen. If we go to Arizona, we're probably going to be looking. I thought we were going to be looking in the Bisbee area.
Yep.
Now we're looking up around Lake Mead or Lake Powell.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Nice.
That's a nice area up there.
I'm open to have you in any part of those neighborhoods. Yeah, that's cool because I will be running for governor of Arizona soon, so I hope I get your vote.
You got my vote, man. You got it.
All right, man. All right. Well, listen, I'm done being a goofball, but I like talking to you guys. I'll let somebody else call, or you guys do whatever you got to do.
All right, man. Thanks, Aldous.
All right, Aldous.
Yeah.
Good talking to you, man.
Hello, everybody. See you guys later.
Good night, brother.
Take it easy, man.
Yeah. I would welcome Aldous Burbank as the governor of Arizona. That would be nice.
I think it would be a good thing.
Yeah, I think it is that time, isn't it, fellas?
It seems to be.
Yeah.
I hear music.
It was a lot of fun tonight, guys.
Yeah, it was.
You guys in the chat were, man, awesome shit. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the Gabcast, everybody. I'm Eddie Dean, and we will see you next week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Fuck Justin Bieber!
You go. All right, give me your mother back.